Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is the Sunday show on Here Be Here Be Monsters Radio. And with us tonight for the Progressive Roundtable is Wayne Johnson up in Delaware or Maryland wherever you're. And Jack Jodell in Minneapolis, and where it's real cold.
Very so cold just, in the next couple days, but then it's going to warm up.
There you go. What?
We've had a huge amount of snow. Where they have the fourth record amount of snow on record since 1880, the fourth most amount of snow, and it's all happened within the last 3 weeks. Unbelievable.
I've got a good friend who's been in Hawaii for several years. She was born and raised in Columbus, but anyway, she says, she posted on her Facebook, they have snow in Hawaii, and they're getting a mountain flooding. You know, don't tell me there's no climate change.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the worst blizzards I've ever seen in the Northeast were in April, though.
Yeah
those late winter things are terrible.
Yeah, they really do blow around. Well,
who else was blowing around this week was Trump at the CPAC crazy festival. Yeah, so
that was. Talking about your crazy clown card.
I call CPAC crazy people at convention.
I like that. I think it'll catch on.
Well, they make no sense. They're getting further and further out on the limb, man. That limb's going to break and they're going to fall right off. I can't wait because these guys are wacko. And Trump was, God almighty, he's talking for over 2 hours the other day. And he said absolutely nothing. The same old bullshit.
He's just trying to do damage control because Cohen, his former lawyer, just really nailed him to the freaking wall.
He clobbered him.
Collaboration, you know, of criminal activities, you know, all that.
Well, it's that a lot more Americans pay attention to these open investigations that are televised by the Congress or the Senate. It's always been that way.
Yeah.
I thought that Cummings did a wonderful job of it myself. The Republicans were really bad actors during the whole thing.
Oh, of course.
And
that damn Jim Jordan and Mark Meadows, what a couple of screwballs. Those guys are wacko.
You can't attack the message, so what you do, you attack the messenger.
Exactly.
How do you discredit the message? Because they can't have any leg to stand on the message he was saying. They
right.
know it's all true.
Right.
Well,
all this talk about not being able to indict a sitting president, that might fly out the window. That might not happen. I hope that precedent is destroyed because that guy, he belongs to be indicted. He belongs in a jail sentence, really.
Ivanka, Kushner.
Oh, all of them.
Donnie Jr. They all belong in prison for their criminal activity.
Yeah, all.
Mueller is getting. It's just going to have to be take time. We have to be patient. And take time and let the judicial system work itself out.
These Trumps make the Jesse James brothers look pale in comparison. There's something else.
Yeah. We've never had criminal activity, treasonous criminal activity.
Treasonous, yeah. Good
right.
point.
It is a constitutional crisis right now when they, you know, that man walked into office. Hooker Crick. You know, how he got in there, he is a treasonous criminal activity.
Well, he's an anomaly and an aberration all rolled into one, and he's absolutely disgusting and despicable. I just can't stand the ground that guy stands on.
Well, you know, yeah. The whole thing is that all of the reporting that's been done, the Christopher Steele doc, everything that's come out and been double-checked on, I think they've only had one thing that they're disputing, and that is whether or not Cohen was in Copenhagen, or no, Copenhagen, I'm sorry, the Czech Republic in Prague.
Mm-hmm.
And he
Prague,
really,
yeah.
He says, no, he really wasn't. So that turns out not to be true. But everything else has led right in through doorways where evidence lies. Let's remember that in his investigation, how many indictments has he brought and how many have been found guilty so far?
37,
I mean,
wasn't it?
There are
enormous.
The whole, everybody's waiting for this report to come out looking for some kind of smoking gun, which, you know, personally, I don't want to be blindsided with disappointment. I think it's all coming out as it happens, you know. Every
yeah.
time there's an indictment, we know more and more what Mueller has discovered, and we can, you know, from the evidence that was provided and what he's been searching into, and who he's been deposing, it's pretty obvious. Yeah, there's enormous amounts of evidence of Russian collusion going on here.
Yeah.
But that's not the end of it. He's providing evidence for criminal prosecution on the outside of government side. I think that's one of the big things he's doing. Remember, he's a RICO lawyer. He's brought down the biggest RICO cases. Hello?
I would say
life
sentence and hard labor for Trump and his
well,
family. They're all
well,
criminals.
Hey,
they
what are you supposed to have? He killed the Rosenblum. Remember
what?
In the 50s? I said treason's supposed to have a death penalty, just like they did with the Rosenblums.
Yeah.
Rosenberg or Rosenblum in the 50s?
Rosenberg, yeah.
Well, Rosenberg were, you know, kind of quasi set up, even though they did commit treason.
Yeah, they
but
did.
It was the haste of in the haste of all the fear and fear mongering and propagandizing that put him to death.
Yeah.
And
all the big red scare they had after the World War II is just insane. In the early years of Eisenhower, all that McCarthy bullshit. And, you know, that was okay because that was a Republican-led witch hunt.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the thing is that when Democrats bring people to task through the courts and through
mm-hmm.
hearings and investigations on a government level, there's usually something very serious happening that is
right.
trying to protect and defend the democracy.
Right.
On the other hand, since Eisenhower, every time Republicans do it, it's nothing but bullshit.
Yeah.
And fear. I mean,
well, they're mean-spirited in nature. They're mean-spirited people, and this
so
latest conservative nonsense. They're con men is all they are, including Trump and all the rest of them.
Well, they're greedy.
Jack and Gwen, like I said, the hour-long I've had with former Vice President candidate Jack Kemp, he worded it perfectly. There are good different graphics to get whipped up at election time, you know, when it's time to whip up the nut jobs. I'm doing air quotes. That's
right.
What they refer to these people, these T-baggers, these Trump-tards. They are nut jobs to the
yep.
Republican leadership.
They're very wearisome. I'm tired of them. I want them to just disappear and fly away for good.
Well, I don't think they're going to. I think they're holding on.
No, that's
on
why we've got to win back the Senate next year and the presidency in 2020 and the presidency as well and relegate these guys to the ash heap of history where they belong.
Well, and that takes getting to work on it right away. Everybody should be doing their best, but you really can't do a hell of a lot until you pick a candidate, and I guess all of them haven't thrown their hats in the ring yet.
Oh,
but
my God. It's an endless parade.
I myself have already chosen and committed myself as a volunteer to the Warren campaign. So Warren's my gal. And if she loses, I will say this. There's only one way that I would omit a presidential vote on my ballot, and that's if Bernie Sanders ends up being the delegate.
Well, he's not going to get it, so you don't have to worry about that.
I think you're probably right, but still in all, I mean, it's a gust in the wind that I say, I ain't voting for that asshole.
I have no problem with him, Gwen. I don't understand your animosity toward him.
I don't like the way
he has very solid positions on many things, and many of them have been adopted already by other Democratic candidates this election.
Well, that may be true, Jack, but as far as his governance going, he has made a reputation out of being very hard to caucus with or get to agree on things.
Yeah, I don't think he would. Get along with Congress that well, or be able to manage them very well. I think it'd be nothing but a standstill.
And that's not what we need right now. We need to rebuild this democracy. Plus,
you never need that. You need cohesion in government. It's got to work together.
Right.
It's got to function for each other.
Right.
And everybody's got to be happy.
The other thing that bothers me this time, as it bothered me the last time, there were two candidates who were running and vying for the job, who wouldn't show their taxes. One was Donald Trump. The other was Bernie Sanders, and he's doing it again.
Yeah.
So, you know, what are you hiding there, fella? It's just I don't think that's right. And I agree.
They should come out. That should be a requirement. If you want to run for president, get your taxes ready and show them to the public.
Well,
I agree.
I think in New Jersey, we have passed a law saying if you have not shown your tax and put forth your tax records, you cannot be on the voting.
On the ballot. Yeah, they won't put you on the ballot. So
I agree.
So it's only New Jersey, and I think there's three other states pushing for it.
Yep.
And they could get that before the election. But the other thing is that there's one other who hasn't thrown his hat in, but he's run several times and never made the grade, and that's Honey Joe Biden. And I really think that we need someone who's going to do the job. To me, it's Elizabeth Warren, because she's had success in rebuilding and putting institutions in place before, and I just like her. She's a nice, sincere lady. But there's the other candidates who are really great, too. Kamala Harris shows up real well with people.
Oh, yeah.
And
she looks outstanding.
She has a whole lot of support. We'll see in the debates who stumbles
into.
Well,
we'll see if Biden's going to declare or not. I don't know if he will. It is so full right now that can we take another Democratic nominee? I don't know, man. It'll be nothing but a bitter primary fight that could lead to a Trump reelection. I don't want that to happen.
Well, I don't think that Biden has the money in back of him. And he's used to collecting his change from PACs and donations of that order.
Yeah, that's true, too.
Of that ilk. And several of Kamala Harris, Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, of course. I don't know about Booker, but
he leads the pack among prospective Democratic voters. He leads the pack.
I don't give polls one iota of credence. That's where you and I kind of separate. I think that these polls are BS. First of all, they're calling old people at home during the day. And in the Democratic,
well, they vote too, you know.
The Democratic Party, that's a lot of old people who say, well, go with what we know. Or, the DNC machine isn't going to go over too well with that. They've got to think. So there's a great big debacle there. But here's the other thing. The only thing that they're really that's showing up is that his donors and his coalition have pledged to support him again and let him help them raise money right away. Well, Elizabeth, he's raised over $10 million.
That's incredible.
Elizabeth Warren doing the same thing has raised about 7.5. Kamala Harris has done a little better than that. I think she's also pledging only to take donors. you know, small donations too. I'm not quite
sure. That's a good
sure
sign.
I don't know if that's true or not.
We can't let these
money
bags rule the planet the way they have been. It's just insane. And that leads to corruption, let's face it.
Well, that's exactly my candidate stand on it. You know.
Citizens United destroyed our elections.
Well, that's what we're trying to make a difference in here.
Right.
And, you know, this might very well be the first presidential campaign run on just small donorship on the Democratic side. Republicans don't, you know, you got to
no,
be
they're kidding. They're too glued to money bags. That's all they care about is money, money, money.
Well, that's pretty obvious.
And they're they have a shrinking base. Trump is destroying that party. It's unbelievable the bad things he's done to that party. So, Republicans, you may fade off into the distance here before at least the Republican Party, as we've seen it, it's been vastly changed badly just in 2 years' time, and it's getting worse instead of better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what's going on. That's true. The other part about this is that is somebody having trouble with their mic?
I'm on the car here. I'm going to put it on mute here a little bit, and then I'll turn you back on. So.
The other thing we have to look at is, you know, Trump is famous for calling his opponents losers.
Oh, yeah.
I think he filled that bill real quickly when he got on the plane from Hanoi. Who gosh knows what happened within 20 minutes that made them all drop it and turn tail and run.
Oh.
But that's what happened. Of course,
he did no preparation whatsoever. All he did was shoot his mouth off and go over there and try to dominate things like he always does. And it just didn't work. You can't go into a summit like that without some advanced preparation. And he tried to wing it just on a whim, like he always tries to do. He wants to do everything simple and easy in his way. And you know what? That doesn't work. And it's blown up in his face as a result.
No, it doesn't work. But you did hear about the – did you catch any of that speech he gave at CPAC?
Oh, how disgusting. You know, I almost vomited watching that shit. It was one bullshit after another. Typical Trump bullshit, grandstanding, showboating, bullshit, bullshit, bullshit. That's all that guy is bullshit.
I just caught the highlights on Joy. I couldn't on Joy Reid. I'd never watch him give speeches or anything.
No, I didn't watch a two-hour Trump speech. Good God, I can't stand more than 2-3 minutes of him.
Yeah, I really can't stand him either. I just go for the, yeah.
Well, he insults everybody's intelligence, and he's such a lying, deceitful bastard. He thinks everybody believes just what he says. But you know what? He's got himself believing his own bullshit. That is very dangerous.
Well, it sure is when you consider it. But there's one thing that got said on Friday that has a lot of people I know concerned. It was when Michael Cohen read his closing statement to Congress. Do you remember what he said?
Not exactly on his closing statement, no. Well, I watched a lot of that, but
I watched most of it too, but I saw the closing statement later on MSNBC.
Well, he called him a con man and a liar, and yeah, it's all true, and we understand that. But I can't remember what the closing argument was.
Well, he said one of the reasons that he stepped up to this was basically, yeah, because he had brought his family so much, you know, terrible,
right.
You know, and yada, yada, yada. And he said, but I really do fear for the peaceful transition of power when he's voted out.
Oh, yeah.
He said, and he wanted that warning to go out, you know. So I'm like, how the hell? I mean, like, the military is going to provide him with cover to stay in the White House, of which he's still not paying the utility bills on. I want everybody to know that, please.
God, how disgusting. Absolutely disgusting.
Yeah, well, you know, if I was in the city commissioner's office in D.C., I'd have
cut
the power set off. Yeah, I would.
Cut the power off. Cut the heat off. Let the son of a bitch freeze to death.
Well, you really, you know, that would probably be against the law because that would put him in jeopardy.
Yeah. Well, he's so cold-hearted anyway, it probably wouldn't matter to him, you know?
Yeah, I catch you. I really do catch
you. We have never, ever, ever seen anybody as horrible as him in the White House, and I hope we never, ever, ever see another person like him of his nature. How disgusting and how despicable and how reprehensible. All the bad adjectives you can throw at him, they all apply because the guy is absolutely worthless and he's a waste of taxpayer money.
Well, that's true.
We're paying that guy $400,000 a year to do absolutely nothing but walk around, go around the country and bullshit and grandstand and get attention. That's all he's doing. That's a poor investment, I would say.
Well, at CPAC, he announced that he will sign very soon an executive order requiring schools to support free speech if they want federal research dollars.
Yeah.
That sounds Stalinistic
to me.
Yeah. It's basically his version of free speech is what I say goes. It's my truth and nobody else's. which is kind of funny. He also went to town on the Green New Deal.
Oh yeah.
And he also was cussing over his ex-Attorney General Jeff Sessions.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he went freaking nuts.
You know, and he's complaining about all these people that he selected himself and appointed. What the hell's wrong with this guy? He's wacko. And anybody that goes along with him and believes in his bullshit is equally wacko.
Yeah, it was.
It makes no sense at all.
It was a pretty awful. He cursed. You know, he used obscenity.
He's a crude guy. Let's face it, he's crass as hell. You know, my latest post, which is going to end after tonight, it's called Trump in Adjectives and Descriptive Phrases. And I have over 300 different adjectives and descriptive phrases to describe this guy, and every one of them is true.
Well, yeah, he is. It's funny to listen to him talk because it's like talking to a petulant child.
Exactly.
Another pretty cool thing happened, though, this weekend. SpaceX here in Cape Kennedy or Canaveral, whichever you like to say. I go with Kennedy Space Center myself.
Right.
The SpaceX's Dragon is going to go up and dock at the International Space Station. That's pretty cool. That means that we've got a space program working again, which is really important.
Well, they need that to be able to explore Mars, which they should do. You know, when we went in that moon race with the Russians, it helped our economy in many, many, many ways, incredibly ways. And even your stereo at home sounds much better because of the space program. They made great advancements in all areas of science and electronics, and you name it. It was a tremendous boon to the whole country.
Yeah, Velcro.
Well, the advancements in exponential.
Yep.
Yeah, it always is.
So we've got to go to Mars too, and we've really got to get beyond our own planetary boundary here and explore space. You know, the more the merrier. And it costs a lot of money, yeah, but it can be a great investment. You know, it can be a very tremendous boon to the economy and stimulate areas that we haven't even bothered to think about as of yet.
You know, I saw a thing on 60 Minutes last Sunday after, well, we didn't have a show. 60 Minutes last Sunday, they did a thing on the Tesla is selling very big in China. And so the Chinese car companies are, you know, putting out their own electric cars. Of course, China is getting all up on green technology.
Yeah.
They swipe a lot of our technology to accomplish it, but they're doing it because they have government-controlled capitalism over there. And
right,
a lot of people are doing very well. It's just that their air is a horror, and their countryside needs to be cleaned up, but they're doing it, and they're going to beat the shit out of everybody else who, you know, we're far behind. That's because
China is the sleeping giant as far as technology and everything else goes. I mean, they're going to come roaring up one day, and we're going to be flattened like a pancake, and we're standing by helplessly doing nothing.
Well, technology-wise, a lot of the technology that they are using,
they rip
and
off.
A lot of it being enabled, is developed in the United States.
That's right, yeah.
And by our engineers. So, you know, it's. I don't see them as being the ones who are going to flatten everybody else out either. I think
they'll do it with their labor force. They've got an unlimited amount of cheap labor over there, which Ivanka Trump has benefited from immensely. And when they put their minds to it and their resources to it, they can be a very, very potent factor, and we can't ignore that. It's very reality.
That's true because people are directed to go to work in certain industries. But the
Absolutely.
Truth of the matter is they're getting paid a decent wage over there where they're not here. They have what they call a
small number of the people are getting paid a decent wage, though. That's kind of a misnomer. This attitude that, Chinese are doing real well now, and so everybody over there is doing well, that is not true.
Well, that's not what, you know, is getting reported over in Western Europe or even by some of our journalists. We do have a caller. I'm going to open up the mic. Caller calling in. Hello. Do you have anything to contribute? 404 area code?
Yes. Well, I see you guys are talking about China and how you doing.
Good.
But,
hi.
You raising some interesting points. Okay. For one, yes, China will have some type of labor dispute at some point. There's going to be a push for rights, push for higher wages, better working conditions, that kind of thing. That's a problem that they have. But I don't know about the whole narrative of they steal U.S. tech and all this other stuff. Yes, they borrow things.
They take it.
Yeah, but if we're being honest about this, when you talk about the transfer of power from world hegemons, did we inherit some things from Britain as the baton was passed?
Say
so. You know what I'm saying? So, like, that's a natural occurrence. I don't think
maybe it's human nature.
Yeah, I don't think that's something to really look at. I think the real thing to look at is their expansion in Africa, where they're actually, you know, I would call it
mining rights.
Yeah, I guess we could say. I guess the best way to put it would be, I don't want to be mean about this and call it something else. Dollar colonialism, I guess, would be the best way to do it. So
It is. It is. Okay. And, you know, they've paid a lot of attention and invested a lot of in exploration in Africa, and we have just been asleep at the wheel the whole time. We're basically letting China roll right over us. We really are.
Well,
yeah, but just think
right
about it. So if we're bringing AFRICOM and we have a certain history over there with
That's
different
right.
leaders and people we've propped up,
right.
And they're coming in with dollars. Hey, you need a railway system, we'll put the whole railway system up. We'll even bring in Chinese workers so your workers don't get the benefit of it. There's the downside. But they do get the infrastructure benefits and can look towards the future.
Right.
And then you brought up the pollution issue. Germany is working on that. They've spent billions on a project to go over to China and kind of export that across the world. So we see us walk away from the Paris agreements. We elected a person who basically appealed to the worst of a good size of America. And this doesn't go back in the bottle. Like, people are being even more, I guess you say, indoctrinated by, you know, staying in their echo chamber and listening to things and not dealing with reality. So, yeah, if you were looking at things from the outside, you would probably say long term you short the U.S. But, you
well,
know,
Trump,
I would guess
Trump's nationalism. Nationalism was has been discredited as a in anybody's sense of the word, has been discredited as a very good philosophy to follow. We need interaction between countries on many levels, not just trade, and on many, many levels, and it benefits the whole human race. And so we can't have nationalistic guys out there spouting their bullshit like Trump does. And, you know, Hitler was a nationalist too. So
Jack, this is going on across Western societies right now.
It's bad right now, yeah, and it's led by Trump.
I wouldn't call it led by Trump. First of all, he hasn't got the
brain. Oh, yeah, he's really made a lot of noise about it.
He's made a lot of noise.
The con man who benefits from the conditions that already exist is still the con man who benefits. She's playing it the right way. The conditions were there. This con man was just the one to call them out. Anger. They're doing the same thing in England, France, and all these places.
Oh yeah,
where they're blaming immigrants. But the crazy part about it is, these are all the places with what, low birth rates, older populations who actually need an influx of a new population.
That's correct.
If you don't actually deal with the fact that labor's not getting their share of what the GDP is, then you can convince people to be mad at the other people and say these other people are causing all your problems.
Yeah,
I mean,
good point.
Rift.
Caller, what is your name and where are you calling from?
This is Naj in Atlanta. So to me, the big question
is how
long does this grift work before people finally realize, oh, wait a minute.
An election cycle? I mean, I would remind everybody that 100 women walked into Congress in the last midterms, and a lot of new faces showed up too. And that includes both sides, but massively on the Democratic side, and a lot of them were massively progressive, which is going through an internal struggle now with the rest of those centrist Democrats and those who want to, you know, use the old machine to clunk along. It's just not working. Things are happening subtly, but quicker than we think, just as quick and subtle as the rise of all this hate and isolationism and all of Trump's private brand of, you want to call it nationalism, but it's racism.
Yep.
All of this has come down. It's always been there, and it really has put the conversation onto the table because it's one we must have to get to heal.
You know, the massive influx of progressives into the Congress is wonderful, and it will have a good influence. There will be battles. Nothing's easy.
Well,
nothing comes easy in politics.
I've got a question on that one for you guys, though. Are we saying that hundreds of progressives went, or hundreds of people that would be considered progressive compared to what the other side is right now? Because I feel like right now we are watching Pelosi and the leadership try and steer everyone into the corporate Dems who they favor the most, as opposed to what the base really feels, which is actual progressivism.
There's a lot of pushback on all the, and let's be clear, it was 100 women.
Yeah.
Not just, a few men got elected too, but 100 of them were women who walked in.
Yeah.
And this progressivism is pushing right back at Pelosi. And they're led by, there's a few ringleaders there, and they're women. They're all women of color. And
everybody loves to blame Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, but she's brilliant.
They've got the backup of the Black Caucus, which is really huge.
Right.
Most of the Black Caucus, but we're
still talking about corporate Dems, though. We're talking about the Congressional Black Caucus, and we're talking about the Pelosi group. They're the ones who poo-pooed the Green Deal she put out, or she talked about the other day.
They
jumped on Ortiz, Ilian, who made honest critical statements that needed to be made. They jumped on her. So, I mean,
but that didn't shut her down, and that didn't shut down climate change legislation from being developed. As far as the New Green Deal, that a lot of, and it wasn't just AOC, a whole lot of the women in the new women in the Congress, including our Native American sisters, mm-hmm. were in there saying, you know, this has to be dealt with firmly. Now, go look at, I would just say, reflect that against, we've got an election for president coming up. What are the candidates saying? Pardon me. I mean, you've got, and how many women and how many men are running for the slot for the Democratic Party?
What do you got? That's six women and five guys or something? I mean, it's an incredible amount.
Yeah.
Well,
it is.
As far as name recognition goes on a national level and who's made a spot in that spotlight before, you've got more women than men showing up.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Right.
And that's
a
good sign.
That's a beautiful thing and a sign towards progress, but we also have to be careful and make sure that we understand that we can produce corporate women things that go against
women.
All the progressive ideals. Exactly.
Right.
Yeah,
we have to be careful by saying, okay, this is a black woman or this is a Native American woman, and assume that they check all the boxes when it comes to progressivism, because honestly – We've seen this before. Yeah, yeah. Either way, I'm going to hang back. Go ahead.
Nacho, it was great of you to call in.
Thanks. Good to hear from you.
Please call in again.
I'm going to hang up and listen to y'all, man, so y'all have a good show.
Well, hey, man, great job, and good to hear from you, and please do call in again.
All right, we'll do.
Yes, thank you. Very, very good points. A good, logical talk. Very good.
Yep. Awesome.
So we have how many women? I'm just going to keep batting you guys over the head with this.
Well, why do that?
Women,
that's unnecessary.
100 women.
It's a fact.
Majority of them were progressive, and he makes really great points about, and we've made the same points and been looking at it, how much of the old Democratic machine is clunking along behind it. Well, first of all, I think Pelosi's wise enough to realize that change has come. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
And I think she's wise enough to understand that a lot of this new energy has to be affiliated with her. So
right.
That means she's going to be working compromise.
I think it'll push her to the left a little bit, which is fine with me.
It already
you know?
Has. It already has. It already has.
I'd like to see even more of it, and I'm sure our caller would agree with that too.
Well, yeah, he was good. Well, me, I liked him. He was very calm and very knowledgeable, and just good to know. Take the blinders off and take a really good look. Which is true.
Listeners.
I'm sorry.
You talk intelligently, you get intelligent listeners.
That's right. Yeah. Good point,
if we can
Wayne.
Hold our arguments together, yeah, I guess so. But
yep.
You know, the thing is that I noticed this week that Republicans are throwing back. They're just, it's like everything. There was a tweet that Trump did this last few days, and I said, well, my goodness. Are we just taking, you know, anything out and throwing it against the wall to see what sticks? And that is
absolutely—that's
what's going on with a lot of these Republicans.
Well, they're refusing to acknowledge that what Cohen said about Trump, and they're just attacking Cohen. That's a failed strategy, and it does nothing to bolster their argument whatsoever. You know, they are attacking, like Wayne said earlier, they're attacking the messenger. They're completely ignoring the message, and that's the sad thing about the Republicans of today. They're so glued to the past. That's why they're going to fade away into nothing here if they don't watch out.
Well, I think they have faded quite a bit since.
I would agree.
I mean, there's just no there's no turning it. And the other thing is that there are corporate Democrats amongst the black caucus too. overall, though, I watched John Lewis on one of the Sunday morning shows. He walked across the bridge in Montgomery again today.
That's right.
And he got the crap beat out of him. He damn near died.
He did, yeah, that's right. He almost got killed.
Yeah, that's old time tough in my book. I mean,
well,
anybody's book.
In my book, he's a hero. He's an absolute hero, and he's a strong voice for progressive action on all fronts. The guy, not just the racial front, but on all fronts, economic and everything. He's got his ducks in a line, no doubt.
My friend Tracy is a teleprompter. Got onto the plane in D.C. coming back from a job. And she always runs through Atlanta, and they all do, on her way down further south here. And she got on, and she got over to her window seat. She looked, and sitting next to her was John Lewis. She couldn't believe it. She recognized him. And she just sort of was in shock, you know, because, you know, she's like, oh, my God, I'm sitting next to a national hero. How do I deal with this? So when they got underway and they were up in the air, she turned to him. She said, I hope you don't mind. Excuse me. And he was very gracious. And he said, no, what can I do for you? She said, I just want to thank you for being who you are and doing
a
fine job for us. And she stood up and she turned around, looked at people behind her and said, do you know who's sitting in front of you here in tourist? And it seemed as though Mr. Lewis was completely taken aback. He doesn't get recognized that often, I guess, or something, but he really enjoyed it. Ended up doing a little video, telephone video thing with a kid sitting a couple of rows back who said, oh, can I get you for my blog?
Cool.
You know? So, my point is people represent themselves as who they are. You know, you can see this when they're away from the cameras.
Well, we like to see the genuineness and the humility and the earnestness in a person, and that's what we saw in John Lewis on that occasion.
And in the last 20 years, I'd say one of the most, I think that some of the most influential, as far as I'm concerned, and the most sincere politicians have been sitting in the Black Caucus over and over again.
Oh, yeah.
And when I thought that also Mr. Cummings did an excellent job.
He sure did.
As mediating. And his statements, you know, his statements at the end of the hearing on Friday, or was it Wednesday, were just, they were incredible. You know, he says, well, come on, people, you know, we can't let this happen. And he's absolutely correct. But do you know what he reminded me of? He reminded me of a little poem written 100-some-odd years ago, asking, you know, what rough beast its hour come run round at last? Yeah, that's it. Slouches towards Bethlehem to be born. That's what it reminded me of, you know, because that's what he was saying, that the falcon can't hear the falconer, you know? Things fall apart and the center can't hold. Those were the words, right? Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And that's what's happening to us right now, but it's also an excellent opportunity for change to happen quickly. And when I say subtly, you know, all these women, and there's going to be a lot of men who come in, I would guess, on the senatorial races, women too. But I'm thinking that a lot of progressives can win that too, don't you, the senatorial races?
Oh, I'm really hoping they will, and I think now is the time. Now is that you got to strike while the iron's hot, and it's glaring hot right now. So let's strike as hard and often as we can, and as much as we can, and let's really elect a bunch, a boatload of progressive senators next year.
Well, you know, John McCain's seat is going to be open. They may have put that the other Republican who ran against the Democrat who won again in Arizona.
Yeah, she might, she might get beat. She might get beat again. Let's hope.
But she could get beat. She could be, get beat by a Democrat.
And that would be incredible for Arizona to elect two Democratic senators. My God, those people, they'd be spinning in their graves. The
well,
old conservatives.
I do believe Rubio's seat is up too.
Yeah.
Down here. And when and even though Ted Cruz just won his back.
Oh, he barely won it. Yeah.
He barely won it. I mean, isn't the seat next to him in that state in Texas open for election in 2020?
I think it is.
And,
and so is
Arizona.
Mitch McConnell. He's up for election in 2020.
Oh,
let's get rid of that son of a bitch.
You know, Louisville has got billboards. It's either four or five billboards that have got Ditch Mitch.
Yeah, good. I'm all for
through
it.
Through the city. You know, what's he done for you lately? What's McConnell done for you lately? He's just, it's unbelievable that
he's so incredibly partisan and narrow-minded and old-fashioned. That guy deserves to be retired forcibly.
I'll keep saying this. It's just a shame that Ashley Judd doesn't run for that seat. I swear.
Yeah, I hope she does. That'd be wonderful, yeah. Wouldn't it?
It would be pretty wonderful. I mean, she could afford it, you know.
Of all, I couldn't believe it. I just learned that Rand Paul has come out against Trump's border thing, you know, Trump's border wall.
Yeah, there's apparently quite a few Republicans who are going to.
That's great.
That are going to vote against. I don't know if it's going to be enough in the Senate, but it's going to go from the House to the Senate. We can't hear you, Wayne.
I said it wouldn't be enough to override a veto.
No, that's the bad thing.
Right.
Well, we don't know that yet. We don't know that yet. There's Republican senators who are saying, but then you have a couple of Democratic senators who are willing to vote with the Republicans.
Well, that would lend to a massive collapse on the Republican side, and I don't see that happening. I wish it would, but I don't see that happening real quickly here, and certainly not on this border wall issue, but. We'll see. You never know. In politics, you just, from one minute to the next, things change, and they catch a lot of people by unaware sometimes, you know. So we never know. We can only hope for the best and keep pushing forward, you know.
Well,
yeah.
It's strange. You just never know. But the thing I saw in the news today was that on the political beat was that there's a bunch of Republican defections on the emergency, national
border
emergency.
Wall nonsense.
Yeah. Rand Paul is one, as you said. I'm
and Susan Collins and the lady from Alaska, she's another. And let's hope it turns into an avalanche.
And Tom Tillis from North Carolina.
Tom Tillis,
they're gonna vote
with
that
was kind of mind blower.
So all they need is a couple of more defectors.
Yeah.
And that's it. It goes down. What's unbelievable is how many Republicans are willing to accede with Trump. And to allow our Constitution to be, you know.
Well, Trump has been revealed to be a very weak, weak man. He's not anywhere near as powerful as he portrays himself and as he wants people to believe that he is. So people are starting to get to size him up quite correctly at long last. And that's why I predict this guy, his political career is about ready to end.
Trump's?
Yeah. And it won't be a moment too soon when it does end.
Well, geez, we can only hope so. My fairest thoughts on that are, you know, just run out of town on the rail.
Yeah, wouldn't that be something? Yeah, you can only make a finite number of enemies before they come roaring back at you and they defeat you and they take good care of you and get rid of you. That's what I'm hoping is going to happen.
I just would like to see justice done. And my idea of justice is the fact that he has pulled so much that he gets handcuffed and Jack Boot marches out of that office.
That's right.
I really hope so. And the fact
thrown into a jail cell, lifetime at hard labor. That's all I can wish for that.
They don't do hard labor anymore, Jack.
Oh, there's somebody I heard about on the news recently that was doing hard labor.
Hard labor? Where's hard labor? Stamping license plates?
I don't know. I don't know exactly if it's cracking rocks or whatever the hell it is, but. There are still isolated cases where they have the people work very hard in prison, for next to nothing pittance wages. So that'd be just fine.
That's like Illinois and a couple of I understand Michigan, Maine, they do that. You're right. That happens. I don't think they do that.
It's not very humane, but some of those people aren't very humane either, and neither is Trump. He's the least humane person I've ever seen.
I gotta say, there's a lot of people in the state of Florida who've been incarcerated for things like selling a bag of grass, kind of thing.
Right,
you
know?
We have incarcerated down here. Under the FBI, Leonard Peltier.
Yeah.
And he is an AIM activist, American
right.
Indian activist, and he deserves a pardon. He deserves to get out of jail.
In both Texas and Florida, there have been numerous people who have gotten unjustly harsh sentences on the pot issue, And Peltier's situation is not that, but he deserves to be pardoned. There's no doubt about that. But you won't get a pardon for him out of Trump. That's for damn sure.
No, and you didn't get it out of Obama. He was convicted of killing an FBI agent.
Yeah, you probably won't ever see it now then because of that.
No, but there's such a thing as serving your sentence and the rest. Excuse.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of ways to get around that.
They haven't found a way yet, it looks like, so and that's too bad, really.
It's just a matter of, I don't know, maybe if it was put on the desk of a madam president.
Oh, that's interesting.
Oh,
yeah, we'll see. Let's see what happens.
Dad. I'm just a feminazi, aren't I?
I'm all for a woman president, especially if it's a correct thinking one, and I'm sure most of those women candidates are correct thinking. And Elizabeth Warren is one of them.
Oh yeah, I really like the way she's.
And
so
is Kamala Harris. I like them both.
Yeah, both of them are going about their campaigns. I'd say most of the women. Is it Klobuchar? Yeah, she's doing her.
Yeah, I don't see her gaining much footage though. I don't see her making much of an impact.
Well, no, she doesn't appeal to the majority of the Democratic Party nationally because she's very centrist and
she's from the middle of the country and they don't give a shit about her in the West or East Coast that much at all. She makes no noise.
I don't think that. I think that they really, Jack, I think if
she hasn't been around long enough. Now, unlike Hubert Humphrey and Walter Mondale, she hasn't been around forever. She's on her third term? And that's getting there,
really,
but it isn't long enough.
But she's done a really excellent job as long as
she's been fine. I have no arguments with her.
Yeah. But she's not making waves because she hasn't got much of that. I don't know. Is it the activist attraction? I don't know what you call it. I keep calling it progressivism.
Yeah.
Well,
she's mildly progressive. She's not a flaming progressive by any stretch. But she's progressive enough to keep her going in this state. And this is a pretty progressive state for the most part. But
she represents her constituency.
Yeah, she does, and that's why she keeps getting reelected. Well,
that's right. That's right. That's what a lot of people don't understand sometimes about folks representing their constituency.
And she does it without compromising good values. You know, she does it in a sensible, common sense way that is not offensive and not criminal and not not opportunistic.
Well, I think one of the things that's going to separate the wheat from the chaff, if you will, is when they start debating one another.
That'll be interesting. I can't wait.
Quite a ways off. Wayne, what do you think on those terms? Who's going to start to shine the brightest?
There's a lot coming out. I want to hear what they say and stuff. And basically, you want to see how they perform in debates. You know, do they know their facts? Do they have their stuff together? Can they convey it properly? Because that's what it's going to have to take. Because, you know, bottom line, whether you like Trump or not, he does.
By and large,
days.
They're pretty bright and they're pretty able. Tulsi Gabbard doesn't do much for me, but she's the exception rather than the rule, I believe, this time around.
What do you mean, the exception rather than the rule?
Well, she's not as she doesn't seem as bright as some of the other women.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
I wasn't catching that for where you were.
She's not
it.
Stupid, but she's not that intellectually renowned as far as I'm concerned, as far as
well,
I can tell.
That's because she doesn't have she's not knowledgeable, Jack.
Right.
She's not knowledgeable,
right.
And she's not sure of what she's saying either. Because
plus, you know, I can't imagine us electing
there.
A Democratic president from Hawaii. I don't have anything against Hawaii, but it's so far out and so remote, and she hasn't been around that long, so I just can't see her going anywhere.
Well, that's true, but I can see electing anyone from any state who has the best message and who's
anybody
best
but
best
Trump,
message.
Yeah.
There's also, oh, good Lord, who is it? I lost it.
Who?
I lost it. Never mind.
No big deal.
Gillibrand isn't pushing anybody's buttons either.
No, she isn't doing much.
Yeah, she's not.
I think she needs a little more maturation time in the Senate. I think she could be a very effective leader down the line.
Actually,
but
I think she's actually losing ground in all of this, even with her Senate seat. So I'm like, whoa.
Well,
she's not. But I will tell you this: I've seen a couple of interviews now, and I've also seen some film footage in front of folks and. Cory Booker just hesitates way too much. I know he's smart.
I'm not impressed at all with him.
Everything. But he's smart. He's on point about things. But he's too hesitant. He's not committed to certain things. He's just not there yet, in my opinion.
No, I hope he'll drop out quickly. I'm not too impressed with him. He doesn't do much for me.
Yeah, well... But Bernie's getting around. I apparently did a town hall on CNN.
Oh yeah, I saw that. Yeah, yeah.
Oh good Lord, we're at the end of our show.
Oh my God.
I can't believe it.
Wow. Everybody, keep pushing forward. We'll be back next week, and until then, keep pushing forward. We've been backward for way too long, and it's time for us to emerge with something new and good and exciting.
Thank you,
exactly.
Jack.
We've got to call out of the pool of conservatism.
Yes, enough of that stuff.
Thank you. And we will be back next Sunday at 6 p.m. for the Sunday show with Jack Jodell, Wayne Johnson, and Gwendolyn H. Berry. Until then, thank you for listening. This is Here Be Monsters Radio.
Right. And thank you to a caller that called in. It was very good.
Yes.
Bye-bye.
And there we are. Thanks, Jack.
Yeah, thank you, Gwen. Great show.
And thanks to our caller.